In 1976, shortly before becoming Pope, John Paul II predicted that there would be the rise of an anti-church. Well, it's now coming into view. That next on Countdown to the Kingdom. Hello, I'm Mark Mallett from Countdown to the Kingdom and thenowword.com. Well, I was taking my boys to a hair salon not long ago, and when we got there, the manager looked at me and told me that he was a longtime reader of my blog. And he came up close to my face, and with an intensity, he looked into my eyes and he said, "Such a lack of discernment in our times, such a lack of discernment." It was a powerful word, a very wise word of what is going on right now in the world. There is such a profound lack of discernment of what is actually taking place in the world through the things that our politicians are doing, through the things that our shepherds are doing. In fact, an exorcist, a well-known exorcist, wrote me not long ago, and I'll leave his name anonymous, but he sent me this text and he said, "The greatest difficulty that I see is the almost crass sleepwalking of the church, God's chosen people, the weakness, fear, worldliness of the hierarchy, and a complete lack of discernment everywhere, even in the chair of St. Peter." There is a profound lack of discernment as to what is taking place right now. And today I want to talk about that, the rise of an anti-church. And it's happening right now in the world in conjunction with what is taking place with the United Nations, what's taking place through this pandemic and its measures. And so I'm just going to go into detail. Well, I'm going to summarize what I've already written about in a series I did that not that long ago. In fact, it was right at the beginning of this entire pandemic. It was in November 2019, I wrote a series about this neo-paganism, a new paganism that's beginning to spread throughout the entire world. You see, there's been an astronomical rise recently in the occult, interest in witchcraft, astrology, other forms of pantheism, and of course, a great explosion of hedonism that really is manifesting in pornography throughout the world. And so right now, what I want to do is I want to take you to some of the messages recently given on Countdown to the Kingdom, and then I'm going to go into this neo-paganism that is really forming the basis of an anti-church that is rising. And it's rising with really science becoming its foundation, with a focus, in a sense, on creation and making creation almost a god, particularly the human person. Detached from our Creator. And I want to start with Pedro Regis. And in fact, the word came to me that the anti-church is rising, the next day this message came from Our Lady to Pedro Regis on April 20th, 2021. And she said, "Dear children, I ask you to keep the flame of your faith alight. You are heading towards a future of great spiritual darkness. The shadows of paganism will spread everywhere, and many of the consecrated will go in the direction of false doctrines. Behold, the times that I foretold in the past have come. Pray. Only through the power of prayer can you attain victory. Return to Jesus. He loves you and awaits you with open arms." And then a message to Jennifer, that American seer. And on April 26, Jesus gives this powerful message. Remember what Our Lady just said to Pedro Regis, that the consecrated are really leading souls into false doctrines. And Jesus says to Jennifer, "Where are my chosen sons? Where are my priests to guide my children in the truth? Where are my priests to tell the world that the road to hell is becoming gridlocked with souls who have fallen into Satan's trap? I'm being held prisoner from my people while the voice of the enemy echoes through the walls of my church. How many have marked themselves with the blood of the innocent out of fear? How many have surrendered their faith and trust in me for the false science of man instead of the creator of the world? This is part one. In part two, I'm going to address this sentence on the false science of men. And what I'm going to show you, quoting top scientists in the world, is how what you are being told right now in the mainstream media is in some cases a bald-faced lie. And I don't use those words lightly. But let's remember, Satan's modus operandi always has been, as Jesus said, he is a murderer and a liar from the beginning, the father of lies. And so Satan lies is so as to draw people into his snare so that he can murder them, murder their soul. But as we know through the centuries, especially with the emergence of communism, to literally murder people. Because the ultimate goal is if Satan can draw people into a place of disbelief and atheism and then kill them through ideologies such as communism, fascism, Marxism, so on, socialism, then this is an easy way to draw souls into hell. And this is an astonishing word, Jesus says. The road to hell is becoming gridlocked with souls who have fallen into Satan's trap. Just a word on the next sentence. I'm being held prisoner from my people. This is most likely and obviously a reference to the lockdowns that are still happening in many places, especially here in Canada, where people are not allowed to go to church or the restrictions are so heavy, very few people can go to church. And Jesus is being held a prisoner from his people, where our priests and our bishops are not being creative in finding ways to feed the body of Christ, because Jesus said, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood has eternal life. And the first concern of the church is not bodily life. The first concern of the church is the life of the soul. And when the shepherds forget this, when they neglect it, woe to them, Jesus says, where are my chosen sons? Because all of this is leading to a great deception. And Saint Paisios is an Orthodox saint. I've never heard of him, but we quoted him on our website at Countdown to the Kingdom recently because of something he said, I'm not really sure the date of it, the 80s, the 90s, because he died in 1994. But what he said was so prescient of what is happening right now in the world. And this was his take. He said, now a vaccine has been developed to combat a new disease, which will be obligatory, and those taking it will be marked. Later on, anyone who is not marked with the number 666 will not be able to either buy or sell, to get a loan, to get a job, and so forth. My thinking tells me that this is the system through which the Antichrist has chosen to take over the whole world. And people who are not part of this system won't be able to find work and so on, whether black or white or red, whatever the color of their skin. In other words, everyone he will take over through an economic system that controls the global economy. And only those who have accepted the seal, the mark of the number 666, will be able to participate in business dealings. Now, underneath this, on this writing called An Obligatory Market, Countdown to the Kingdom, I shared with you my own story. You can go and read it about how I got a word in March 2020 about the possibility of an invisible type vaccine. And I had no idea at the time that that was under development by MIT and it went into clinical trials a month later. You can read that there. The point of this, though, is St. Paisios foresaw a system in which people would not be able to buy and sell without a vaccination. This is precisely what's unfolding today with vaccine passports now being required in many countries now. Many vaccine passports in order to enter to a store, a theater, a stadium. Israel seems to be the guinea pig in some ways for this, but you're hearing the Prime Minister of Canada and other places now talking about this. And this is, make no mistake, this is evil. We're already seeing people being bribed with money, donuts, marijuana, joints for jabs, winning money, winning cars. Seriously? In order to get vaccinated, but the greatest bribery will be you can't go buy groceries unless you have a vaccination. And St. Paisios saw this, which is why the next day after we posted this, it was quite interesting that we got this message come down the pipeline from Gisela Cardia, from Our Lady. And she said to her on May 12th, "Beloved children, soon a man will come who will be praised by the powerful of all nations, but he will be the Antichrist. This time is now near. Persecution will begin in all parts of the world. But do not fear, because I will always be with you to protect you." Remember those words from Our Lady. Remember what she said at Fatima, "My Immaculate Heart is your refuge and the way that will lead you to God, to lead you to Jesus." So this is the basis of what I want to say for the rest of this webcast, and I think it will make sense. Because what we're seeing forming right now is, again, this neo-paganism that is beginning to spread throughout the world. And there's two scriptures I want to point at that I think are immensely prophetic that point to exactly where we are. The first comes from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 13. And it says that, you know, people, they notice the beauty of creation and they're distracted by what they see because the things they see are fair, sure enough. But again, it's not pardonable, it says, to not perceive God in this. For if they so far succeeded in knowledge that they could speculate about the world, how did they not more quickly find its Lord? Wisdom, chapter 13. Well, St. Paul goes on to explain that what can be known about God is plain to them, Romans chapter 1, because God has shown it to them ever since the creation of the world. His invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. People know. We know there's a God because God, as St. Paul says in Romans 1, he's made it evident to us that he exists. But it's sin that darkens our mind, and this is exactly what Jesus said. The verdict, he said, is this. He says, "The light came into the world, but the people preferred the darkness because of their sins." And so St. Paul goes on to say, "Therefore God gave them up in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, exchanging natural relations for unnatural." St. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago, and that perfectly describes our time. We have turned away from God and begun to worship the creature that is the body. And this is now the movement, the revolution taking place in the world right now, a transhumanist movement. And I'll explain what that means in a moment. But first, you know, the Vatican had this pegged a number of years ago in its document called Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life. It's a document about the New Age and what is coming through New Age spirituality and global governance. And it says in number 4, "The New Age which is dawning will be peopled by perfect androgynous beings who are totally in command of the cosmic laws of nature. In this scenario, Christianity has to be eliminated and give way to a global religion and a new world order." The word androgynous means someone who neither identifies as male or female, but appears especially as one or the other. And this is exactly the times right now that we're living through, especially as we see the leader of the free world, which we typically think is the president of the United States, now passing a law redefining sex as non-biological. Therefore, you can't say male or female. But of course, this is redefining laws. I mean, if we're talking about the time of the Antichrist, we better recall what St. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, that before the appearance of the Antichrist, there comes a rebellion, lawlessness, who then which then reveals the lawless one. And lawlessness is, it's, you know, it's not what we saw last summer with people running in the streets. That's, no, that's anarchy, burning down buildings. No, lawlessness is when the president of the United States redefines the natural law. That is lawlessness, and you are witnessing it right now. And so this is exactly what the Catechism of the Catholic Church was defining. And sad to say, we're now beginning to see parts of the church, the anti-church, rising up to embrace this. The German bishops, of course, have been in the news quite a bit lately. There's been talk right now that it is going to lead to a potential schism, because they're talking about potentially rewriting parts of the catechism. You know, for instance, in this article from December 2020, you know, Bishop Batzing, who is the head of the Conference of Catholic Bishops in Germany, says he suggested changing church teaching on homosexuality. He wants church blessings for couples who cannot marry in the Catholic Church. And, of course, it's becoming increasingly difficult, he said, to justify the ban on ordaining women deacons and priests, and on and on and on. So this is what we're seeing taking place right now in the world, is a kind of apostasy, a great apostasy that's beginning to happen. It is the anti-church forming. And it's based right now in part around sexuality, in which we are beginning to worship our bodies. But it's going to go much further than just redefining who I am. You know, I just want to turn to a moment to Cardinal Seurat of Africa, who has been so bold and been a true light in the darkness. And he said this: refusal of fatherhood is the rejection of God. And really, this is what's happening, right? When we reject our sex, we end up rejecting motherhood, we're rejecting fatherhood, and we end up redefining parenthood and so on. This is even happening in my own country, where they're actually changing government forms, taking the word mother and father off. And Cardinal Seurat says, this is a rejection of God. From him, we receive our nature as man and woman. This is intolerable to modern minds. Gender ideology is a Luciferian refusal to receive a sexual nature from God. Thus, some rebel against God and pointlessly mutilate themselves in order to change their sex. But in reality, they do not fundamentally change anything of their structure as man or woman. The West refuses to receive and will accept only what it constructs for itself. Transhumanism is the ultimate avatar of this movement, because it is a gift from God. Human nature itself becomes unbearable for Western man. That's Cardinal Seurat of Africa. And that's why the Vatican, in that powerful document on the New Age, says it's very prominent in legislation and education today, in the ideological theory underlying population control policies and experiments in genetic engineering, which seem to express a dream human beings have of creating themselves afresh. How do people hope to do this? By deciphering the genetic code, altering the natural rules of sexuality, and defying the limits of death. This is where we are right now, brothers and sisters. And in fact, Cardinal Ratzinger also spoke of this when he was referring to the United Nations in 1997. He said, efforts to build the future have been made by attempts that draw more or less profoundly from the source of liberal tradition. Under the title of New World Order, these efforts take on a configuration. They increasingly relate to the United Nations and its international conferences that transparently reveal a philosophy of the new man and of the new world. And with that, I want to introduce you to one of those international conferences, that is the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum is referring to the Great Reset. Climate change and the coronavirus are the two pillars, the two elements that are pushing us to now reset the economy, reset the world. And this is very much tied to transhumanism. So right now, I just want to go to the founder of the World Economic Forum, supported by the United Nations, funded in part by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who are, of course, funding and directing much of what's happening with the vaccination, these gene therapies that are being introduced into the world. And I want to introduce you to Professor Klaus Schwab's vision of the new world order.
It's a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
The original Industrial Revolution was driven by the discovery that you could use steam engines to do all kinds of interesting things.
But that was followed by additional revolutions for electricity and computers and communications technology. We're now in the early stages of the fourth Industrial Revolution, which is bringing together digital, physical, and biological systems.
One of the features of this fourth Industrial Revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
And so the future, he says, is a physical, digital, and biological fusion of our identities. And this is what we call transhumanism. And this is their website, the World Economic Forum. Let's go right to what their definition is of this transhumanism. It's rooted, it says, in the belief that humans can and will be enhanced by the genetic engineering and information technology of today, as well as anticipated advances such as bioengineering, artificial intelligence, and molecular nanotechnology. The result is an iteration of Homo sapiens, enhanced or augmented, but still fundamentally human. Well, that's good to know. I mean, that's encouraging. We'll still fundamentally be human, even though they're going to get into our genetics and ultimately change them. And you need to understand, brothers and sisters in Christ, that what is happening right now, these are not vaccines being distributed in many places. These are gene therapies. This has been stated over and over. And even in Moderna's literature, it says it's a gene therapy. You need to understand there's a huge difference and a dangerous difference. And in the next webcast, I'll probably get into some of this a little bit more. But this is the thing, how the coronavirus is being used, and we're hearing the coronavirus and transhumanism being used in the same sentence. And this is from the European site on religion and society. And in this document, it says, in a nutshell, transhumanism is a philosophical movement which promotes the view that the human species should take control of its own evolution through human enhancement technologies, such as brain implants and nanotechnology that reverses aging. This will then allow humanity to transcend its physical and mental limitations. This is where I'm talking about discernment. We really need to understand what all of this is really saying. And St. Paul wrote about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says that the Antichrist, essentially, that son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. And this is what you're hearing right now from the Vatican's document. You're hearing from the seers. You're hearing from the transhumanists themselves, is that we are going to be able to reverse the aging process. We're, you know, people like Elon Musk are saying that we can implant a chip into our brain, upload it to a computer, and when you die, you can download it perhaps to a clone or to another body and basically live eternally. This is the deception of the Antichrist, brothers and sisters. Take a listen quickly right now to what Prince Charles says, who invokes the Great Reset.
A chance to reset and accelerate efforts to improve the state of our world.
If there is one critical lesson we have to learn from this crisis, we need to put nature at the heart of how we operate. We need nothing short of a paradigm shift one that inspires action at revolutionary levels and pace. We simply cannot waste any more time. The only limit is our willingness to act. And the time to act is now.
Where this whole New Age movement, this transhumanist movement is going, is also toward deifying, in a sense, creation. It says that what has been successful is the generalization of ecology as a fascination with nature and a re-sacralization of the earth, Mother Earth, or Gaia, with the missionary zeal characteristic of green politics. The harmony and understanding required for responsible governance is increasingly understood to be a global government with a global ethical framework. This is a fundamental point which pervades all New Age thought and practice. But let's go to the Catechism and remember what the Catechism warns about the deception of the Antichrist. Before Christ's second coming, the Church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. A powerful warning, and how can we not see this? How can we not, as a church, see this unfolding as the coronavirus and global warming are being used to reset the world, but to reset man himself? And that is the warning. And as the New Age document says by the Vatican, this has to be done through global governance. And Pope Leo XIII says that two loves have really formed two kingdoms or two cities. The love of self, reaching even to contempt of God, an earthly city, and the love of God, reaching to contempt of self, a heavenly one. At this time, at this period, however, the partisans of evil seem to be combining together and to be struggling with united vehemence, led on or assisted by that strongly organized and widespread association called the Freemasons. No longer making any secret of their purposes, they are now boldly rising up against God himself. And we're now seeing this clash of the two kingdoms happening right now. And sadly, though, we're somehow seeing the church, even at the very top, somehow walking alongside this. But there's an awful lot of people in the church concerned about what they're seeing right now. You know, the Pachamama scandal, for instance. You know, the Vatican document mentions this returning to Mother Earth and Gaia. This is exactly what we saw in the Vatican Gardens a couple years ago. It became a real scandal, and I agree, it was a real scandal in the church when this little gathering in front of the Holy Father in Vatican Gardens ended up with people bowing to what priests in Brazil have told me, this is Pachamama, this is Mother Earth, this statue. But not only that, we saw them bowing toward the earth itself, mounds of dirt. And this took place in the Vatican. And these are the kind of things right now that are confusing to the faithful. And that they do give rise to the scandal as we hear the United Nations, talking about Mother Earth and this re-sacralization of Mother Earth. And so we have this, but not only that, this whole thing that took place in the Vatican, but we also saw recently a Vatican conference. And when I saw the image that this Vatican conference used, my jaw dropped. And actually, when I saw this, that's when I heard the words, "You are seeing the rise of the anti-church." This is the fifth International Vatican Conference. It took place May 6th to May 8th in 2021. And I had to do a double take. And when I saw that image of Michelangelo's creation where God touches the finger of Adam, and now God in this image is replaced by the hand of science. And this to me is the icon of the anti-church. In fact, in this conference, the guest list itself is absolutely perplexing with, you know, globalists who we know have a Masonic agenda, globalists who have a population reduction agenda.
The only limit is our willingness to act.
Deepak Chopra, for instance, one of the world's top New Age gurus, was invited to speak and give insights. Where were the Catholics? Where were those Catholics with the gospel vision? And, you know, this is a sign. And I went through the whole talks and everything. And ultimately, the science here, it's not about curing. It's all about treating illness, treating the symptoms, because it's actually in God's creation that God has given us the ability to cure our own bodies. We can heal our own bodies through our own immunity when our minerals are balanced, when our vitamin D is balanced. And in creation, also in the leaves, the herbs, the oils, as it says in sacred scripture, for thousands of years, men used these to heal himself. But it wasn't until these globalists, through the philanthropy of the Rockefellers in the early 20th century, that we went from curing the symptoms to treating the symptoms.
And the balance of medical power remained equal until the turn of the century. Then new medical treatments emerged that were potentially very profitable. The AMA joined with strong financial forces to transform medicine into an industry. The fortunes of Carnegie, Morgan, and Rockefeller financed surgery, radiation, and synthetic drugs. They were to become the economic foundations of the new medical economy.
The takeover of the medical industry was accomplished by the takeover of the medical schools. Well, the people that we're talking about, Rockefeller and Carnegie in particular, came to the picture and said, "We will put up money." They offered tremendous amounts of money to the schools that would agree to cooperate with them. The donors said to the schools, we're giving you all this money. Now, would it be too much to ask if we could put some of our people on your board of directors to see that our money is being spent wisely?" Almost overnight, all of the major universities received large grants from these sources and also accepted one, two, or three of these people that I mentioned on their board of directors, and the schools literally were taken over by the financial interests that put up the money. Now, what happened as a result of that is that the schools did receive an infusion of money. They were able to build new buildings. They were able to add expensive equipment to their laboratories. They were able to hire top-notch teachers. But at the same time as doing that, they skewed the whole thing in the direction of pharmaceutical drugs. That was the efficiency in philanthropy. The doctors from that point forward in history would be taught pharmaceutical drugs.
And this is the great deception that is taking place as described in the book of Revelation. If you go to Revelation chapter 18, it says, "Your merchants were the great men of the earth, these great philanthropists. All nations were led astray by your sorcery." And the Greek word in Revelation 18 for sorcery is pharmakia, the use of medicine, drugs, or spells. Through his money, and I've described this in my writing, The Pandemic of Control, as well as the writing you're looking at right now, The Caduceus Key. And as you'll see, this medical symbol that's still used in the world is also a Masonic symbol. As you can see, the Masonic symbol right in the center of your screen there. And through the philanthropy of the Rockefeller Foundation, they turned around the entire medical establishment from curing illnesses with God's creation to now treating the symptoms with chemicals, with drugs, with medicines. And I'm not saying that some medicines and these things haven't done good. I mean, like penicillin and so forth. But there is a great deception right now, as you heard St. Paisio say, that is leading the world into a great deception in which you are being and I are, they're attempting to corral us through this medical technocracy. And that's exactly what's happening. And I am so sad, so grieved to see the Vatican now joining hands with them, at least the smoke of Satan, parts of the Vatican taking part of this. But let's not be so surprised. I mean, the passion of the church is very similar in a sense to the passion of Christ. Don't forget, it was Judas, one of the 12 apostles who betrayed Jesus Christ. And St. Paul said, when I leave you, wolves will come up from among you. And this is exactly what we're seeing and why we need to pray for Pope Francis so hard that Pope Francis will see this deception that is taking place throughout the world. Because right now what is happening, and we need to pray for our hierarchy, is we are seeing the formation of a new Babylon. And I want to go to a writing of mine on my website. This writing came to me in July of 2020, and about the rise of the religion of scientism. And it's really scientism right now that is forming, you know, one of the rock beds of transhumanism and of this anti-church. The scientism is, the definition really is the excessive belief in the power of scientific knowledge and techniques. But the Catechism warns, it says, we must also face the fact that certain attitudes deriving from the mentality of this present world can penetrate our lives if we are not vigilant. For example, some would have it that only that is true which can be verified by science and reason. And we're hearing this today. Follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. And in the next webcast, brothers and sisters, I'm going to explain to you and show to you how we are not following the science. We are doing the opposite. Remember what Jesus said about Satan. Nothing has changed. He's a liar and the father of lies. And those who do his will are following in his footsteps. He's a liar, the father of lies, Jesus said, and a murderer from the beginning. We'll talk more about that in the next webcast. But in this writing, I want to go to the bottom of this writing where I quoted Pope Benedict and his prophetic words that we are now living. What is Babel? It's the description of a kingdom in which people have concentrated so much power they think they no longer need depend on a God who is far away. They believe they are so powerful they can build their own way to heaven in order to open the gates and put themselves in God's place. While trying to be like God, they run the risk of not even being human. Progress and science have given us the power to dominate the forces of nature, to manipulate the elements, to reproduce living things, almost to the point of manufacturing humans themselves. In this situation, praying to God appears outmoded, pointless, because we can build and create whatever we want. We don't realize we are reliving the same experience as Babel.
Without doubt, we must now put ourselves on a warlike footing, approaching our action from the perspective of a military-style campaign.